Hi, I'm Femi OK. Today on the stream, we are looking at the key issues Australians will be voting on this weekend. Let's look at a recent poll. Top of the poll in terms of importance for Australians, 29% of Australians care most about climate change and climate action. But let's take a look at some of the key issues that the two leading candidates for Prime Minister are campaigning on. This is the current Prime Minister who's in office, and then the opposition leader is Anthony Albanese. Have a look at what they've been campaigning hard on. Climate change is nowhere to be seen. If you're on YouTube today, we want you to be part of this discussion. We are asking about how much do Australians care about climate change? Put your thoughts, your questions right here in the comment section.
Australia needs to reduce its emissions by between 70 to 80% by the year 2030 to align with a 1.5 degree target and be on track to achieve net zero by the year 2050. Unfortunately, Australia's current government has a target of 26% and the opposition party has a target of 43%, neither of which are particularly sufficient. They've got huge challenges to deal with. Australia has a fleet of very old coal plants. It has very low fuel efficiency standards for its vehicles. And it has a huge coal and gas mining industry, which creates emissions domestically, and it creates emissions when those fossil fuels are sent overseas.
Let's meet our panel. Hello, Kishore, Interfar, and Kate. Good to have you on board with our show today. Kishore, please introduce yourself to our viewers around the world.
Hi, everyone. My name's Kishore Napier-Raman, and I'm a political reporter for Crikey, which is Australia's best-loved independent online news website.
Obviously! Interfar, welcome to the stream. Tell everybody who you are, what you do.
Hi, I'm Interfar Chowdhury. I am a youth researcher and also an associate lecturer at the Australian National University, Australia's best university.
Oh, bit of a flow going on here. Thank you so much, Interfar. Kate, hello, welcome to the stream.
Good morning, I'm Kate Crowley. I'm an associate professor at the University of Tasmania, which is an island state and a very green place to live.
Ah, so good to have all of you. I want to go back, guess, to those two lead Prime Minister candidates, having a look at what their mandates are, what they are saying that they're campaigning on. Can you very quickly get our international audience up to speed, Kishore, and for what the current Prime Minister, what he's like, what he stands for, and then what his challenger, the opposition leader, also stands for? What is the choice? What are the options that Australians will have this weekend?
Well, Scott Morrison became Prime Minister in 2018 through a kind of palace coup. And then in 2019, he won this very unexpected, unlosable election. Now, he represents the sort of centre-right ruling Liberal and National Party coalition. And despite being a Prime Minister through the COVID years, through a pandemic, which Australia has, compared to much of the rest of the world, weathered things pretty well, he's actually really going to struggle to be re-elected on Saturday. He's trailing in all the major polls. And part of that is because his personal approach has really lost favour among many voters. People thought that he was slow to act on crises like the bushfires, slow to order enough vaccines, and people find his personal approach really kind of, they grinds in the wrong way.
Yeah.
He's up against Anthony Albanese, who leads the sort of centre-left Australian Labor Party. He's been in politics for a very long time. And he thinks through this kind of careful, measured, non-threatening approach through focusing on problems with Morrison's character. He's done enough to win a mandate and win government on Saturday night.
Ooh, okay, bold prediction. Interval, go ahead.
I'm not making a prediction.
I'm not surprised by the key issues that the two major parties are focusing on. I'm not at all surprised, because the Liberal Party, their forte has been economic management. They know that they're good economic managers, so that's the one. Those are the issues that they put to the fore. And then you've got the Labor Party on the other side that mostly focuses on, you know, social issues like healthcare, childcare, gender equity. So, you know, both the parties are trying to show their strengths to the people. In the last election, as Kishore rightfully said, the unlosable election for the Labors, yet they lost.
Yes.
And many contend that they lost because they tried to creep to the Liberal Party forte, trying to talk about taxation, about money policies, which really made Australian people insecure.
And the polls were wrong in the last election, so maybe we should look at any polls before Saturday. I want to bring in a voice here, Kate, that I would love you to build off. So this is James Blackwell. And we asked James a little bit earlier on, what is this election about? This is what James says. But I'm really curious, Kate, to see what you think the election is about. Here's James, first of all.
This election is focused on three key issues: climate change, cost of living, and integrity in governance. The current government, led by Scott Morrison, is hoping to seek re-election by focusing on their record on the economy while avoiding any serious discussion around their missteps and underperformance regarding COVID-19 and disaster management. The Labor Party, led by Anthony Albanese, however, is looking to capitalise on this and the government's perceived lack of integrity and hoping to return to office after 9 years in opposition. What I'm looking forward to seeing after the election is that whoever forms government, it has a long-term plan for Australia's future and plans strategically around our key issues. Also, as a First Nations person, I'm hoping for a government that more respectfully engages with First Nations and listens to us on the issues that affect us most.
Yeah, that's very interesting. What James has picked on there is that the government is really concerned about macroeconomic policy, and the Labor Party is really focusing on the caring economy, whereas you have the minor parties and the Teal independents focusing on environmental issues. And even though there's a big difference between the macroeconomic approach of the government and the caring economy approach of the opposition, there's so many issues that affect people at home: cost of living, cost of education, the problems with healthcare, and then this massive concern about climate change. And you really wonder how deaf the government has to be. And if you think about it, their ideological approach in Australia, the current government, is a small target for government. So government wants to keep out of people's lives, the Prime Minister is fond of saying, but he's not resonating, he's not cutting through, and that's why he's not reaching people on the issues that matter to them at the moment.
So Kate mentioned a phrase there, Kishel, which is Till independence. And that's like two colours of politics merging together to make Till. Tell us more, Kishore.
So, the Liberal Party, traditionally the right-wing sort of main party in this country, big parts of its traditional support base is very wealthy, affluent parts of Sydney and Melbourne. But increasingly the Liberal Party is in coalition, well, it has been in coalition with the National Party for a long time. The National Party represent regional parts of Australia where lots of people have resource jobs and where the mining sector is really strong. People in the inner city who are wealthy, kind of post-material types, are really frustrated with this government's lack of action on climate change. They want the government to do more to cut emissions, but with the National Party's influence, the Liberals aren't going to do it. So you've had the rise of these independent candidates focused on really two issues: more action on climate change, better integrity in politics, and also stuff around gender, which, again, this party's current government's been very tinny about. So a combination of those factors has seen this kind of revolt in blue blood Liberal heartland in the wealthiest parts of Sydney and Melbourne. These independent candidates who are, say they're independent, but they all run on the sort of same kind of platform, the same colour, teal-coloured T-shirts.
Yeah.
They're really challenging. And there's about, I think, six of them who are really pushing the Liberal Party hard. And it makes it very hard for that party to kind of thread the needle between satisfying the regions where coal is king and also keeping those parts of the country satisfied. Yeah, it's been really kind of
a huge
political tripwire.
Kate, can I just...
It's a fascinating...
Go first. You go first, Kate. Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say that it's a fascinating shakeup of politics. We're really lucky to be seeing this, where you essentially have conservative women peeling off to the left of the Conservative Party and creating a whole new sense of politics where they're picking up on environment and they're making it a cross-party issue. They're taking it away from being a partisan issue just belonging to the Greens. So, yes, it's fascinating.
It's disruption, right, isn't it?
And it also reflects the people on the ground as well, because you have people who are increasingly becoming more and more disenchanted, particularly because they are dissatisfied with the performance of both the major parties, not only this election, but maybe about two decades now, right? And there has been a decline in trust in politicians. And it's just not the Liberal Party, but like across, this is across all the politicians, across the ideological scale. So these independents are really, as I like to say, really giving us a protest alternative that mostly young people, according to my research, like to, you know, they're wooed by teal independence, these young women, educated women who are, you know, taking action on climate change because there has been massively been inaction really in this country.
Kate, let me share this headline with you because it's a really good question. Australian election, where is climate change on the agenda? That's the headline. Where is it? Australians care about climate change because they have seen it. It's not like some distant phenomenon that's happening somewhere else. It's on your doorstep. Actually, it's in your houses. So where is it on the agenda? What are these, the big politicians, not the independents, why are they not talking about it more?
Because they're terrified.
Yeah, well, climate change is really affecting people in a very visceral way. That is that people now are experiencing bushfires and floods and rising temperatures in the interior. Mm-hmm. And it's really becoming a very significant issue that's talked around the kitchen table about. And for politicians, they just want to keep the eye on the macroeconomic ball. So the more they talk about climate change, the more they have to talk about moving away from fossil fuels. And I think that's an uncomfortable conversation in Australia.
Keisha, you go first and then Intifar, you go second.
So, I think climate has been such a disfiguring force in Australian politics because we are on the coal face, but we also have a lot of coal. The resource sector is very strong. It employs, it gives people comfortable blue-collar jobs, but it also is very politically powerful and has been, you know, we talk about Australia, people might know about how we've had many prime ministers, a constant churn, and so many of those churns were kind of climate-related if you kind of step back and look at what happened. Mm-hmm. And equally, the unlosable election, one of the big reasons that Labor lost was because they were seen as far too threatening and aggressive on climate to many people in sort of regional communities where coal had been the backbone of the community. Yeah. And right now, so for both major parties, that's weighing on the opposition's mind. And the government now has this kind of awkward tightrope between the cities where it's facing this teal revolt and the bush where, you know, you've still got coal. So really awkward for both major parties. That's why the government's sort of approach to net zero, which they did accept late last year, was very much a kind of plan without any kind of detail or binding commitment. It was sort of just a...
It's nothing. It was a couple of PowerPoint slides, really. That's a nothing burger. No commitment, that's a nothing burger. Before I come to you, Intifar, I know you've got more to add. I want to go to Kate Melville-Rea. She's a Master of Environment student at the University of Melbourne. This is what she told us a few hours ago. I'm just interested on her take and then where you want to take us next, because she mentions this challenge that Australia has. It really does need to have climate change policy. Here is Kate.
Australia has some of the dirtiest electricity in the world, where the majority still comes from brown and black coal fire plants. So step one is going to be transitioning these to renewables. Beyond this, we are the third largest fossil fuel exporter and world's largest emissions exporter, because what we are exporting to our neighbours is the dirtiest form of fossil fuels, being coal. Really, the only two groups that are pledging to their fair share of emissions reductions are the Greens and Teal Independents, so I'm hoping we see a lot of wins for them this weekend.
Oh, Kate laid it out. Intifar, go ahead.
I completely, resonate with Kate. Kate did mention that, it is a dirty affair at the moment and really makes you wonder, right, if about, 90% of the electorate thinks climate change is an important issue this election, then why is this not signalling to the major parties or politicians in power? And the answer to this is that the fossil fuel companies and the lobbyists around them, they have a lot of power, right? And a lot of money is flowing from these companies into politics now, and to both the major parties. Now, there's a documentary that I would like to cite. It's called The Big Deal, that has been filmed by the ABC. And it really shows how much money just, is fully under the table for both these parties. And that's why Teal Independence talking not only about climate change, but also about integrity in politics and accountability is such an important issue. And it's also a part and parcel of the dirty affair that is going on in Australia, really. So I think the discrepancy between what people want and what is being delivered or not delivered in this case, really, is because of the amount of power and money that flows from all these big companies.
Yeah, lobbyists one, parties. People zero. Kate, what's on your mind? Go ahead.
I'm thinking that both the Teal Independents and the Greens, what they want to do is they want to wind back that power, and partly by cutting political donations to political parties from the fossil fuel industry, but also the Greens want to ban coal and gas and transition faster. And the Teals want to use funding for that to fund renewable energy, take the funding away from subsidising coal. So there's a lot of talk about moving forward, and there's also a lot of moving forward. Australians are sort of voting with their feet in the huge uptake of renewable energy, and renewable energy is something that could be a massive economic boost for us to help us when we have the bottom fall out of the coal industry, which is inevitably going to happen. I think by 2030, the Greens want to get rid of coal, and, that's not that far away.
Yeah. Kishal, I want to revisit something that you said almost under your voice about why aren't politicians in this election talking about climate change. Do you remember the word that you said?
Yes, I said they were terrified. And that is because of, well, in Labor's case, of the backlash that they copped from the community at the 2019 election when they did have a more ambitious target. And it's similarly for the current government as well. When they moved to net zero last year, it was a really tortured process. And you know, the net zero target, as we've said, is a nothing burger. But it was so hard to get, you know, the Nationals flank their party, the regional seats, well, the politicians representing them on board. So really, really awkward for both major parties. And I think they would rather claim that they've ended the climate wars, sweep it under the rug, talk about other things that are a lot more convenient for them.
I want to do, with you guests, a compare and contrast. So this is May 16th. This is Prime Minister Scott Morrison talking about what might happen if independents do really well this weekend. Let's have a listen. Let's have a look.
You can't address climate change and invest in the technology you need to deal with climate change unless you have a strong economy. You can't invest in mental health support or dealing with the issues involving violence against women and put $2.5 billion into those programs or develop advanced manufacturing or ensure that the pharmaceutical benefit scheme can have 2,900 new or amended listings on it. You can't do that without a strong economy. And you can never take that for granted. And that's the point I'd make in those seats. Do not take our strong economy for granted. And please do not give us a parliament that would be one of chaos that would only weaken Australia and make it harder for Australians.
Guess you can't do climate change unless you have a strong economy. It's not possible. Kate, you're laughing. Why?
Oh, I'm laughing because you can't have it both ways. He's actually touting that he's a manager of a strong economy, and yet he's not acting on women's issues and he's not acting on climate change. So I think people are saying, well, if not now, then when? You're saying we have a strong economy, but you're saying we don't have enough money to give people a raise in their wages. So, so you can't have it both ways. I think you make money out of transitioning your industrial base when your industrial base is failing, whereas what's happening with this government is it keeps subsidising a tanking fossil fuel industry because at the moment it's economically a good prospect, but it is a declining prospect, and we will have stranded assets to thank the Prime Minister for. And we'll also have carbon border adjustment levies against us by other countries who'll say, well, these products have been produced with fossil fuels, so therefore we're going to tax them heavily. This is what other countries are talking about doing.
Yeah.
So that's an economic cost.
All right, let me just bring in opposition leader Anthony Albanese. And this was on May the 1st. And this is what he's like, this is what I am campaigning for. And actually, he does mention climate change. Let's have a look.
Make no mistake, climate change is here now. Our region is changing now. the jobs and skills and infrastructure that will grow our economy are needed now. There is a crisis in aged care right now. Families need lasting help with rising costs right now. Australia does not have three more years to waste.
Intima, there's a whole agenda there of issues. He did say climate change first, though. Is he still saying climate change first? Is that what's going to maybe get him to be Prime Minister of Australia?
Well, maybe he started with climate change in that speech, but all throughout his campaign, definitely not. Like, I definitely didn't see enough weight put into climate change by both the major parties. And I feel like this word is being thrown around like a buzzword. It's like, okay, I'm mm-hmm. just going to capture the voters who care about climate change. But, you know, Australian people are quite politically sophisticated.
Yeah.
And they understand that, okay, you know, climate change has been identified as an issue for such a long time. And suddenly, in the dying days of the 46th Parliament, you are interested in it because you want to win the elections, right?
Yeah.
So it really, I think people are so frustrated by inaction. And going back to really
Let me just push on because we only have a few minutes, and I promise that our audience online could talk to you as well. So do excuse me for interrupting you, but it's for our audience. Darren says the lack of climate action has been having an impact on our Pacific neighbours. Darren is Australian, as well as the environment here in Australia. Kate, do you want to just respond to this very quickly before I move on to the next YouTube comment?
Absolutely. It's really soured relations. I mean, we have had a government that's actually laughed about the fact that you might have rising sea levels in the Pacific. So I think that a change of government would lead to an automatic improvement in those relations. Absolutely.
All right. So Silver Eyes is watching right now. Thank you, Silver Eyes, for being part of the program. Silver Eyes voted via postal votes. I choose anyone but the two parties. Let the hung parliament be decided by the best, parentheses, least of all evils, alternative people. Intifa, this is your expertise. Alternative people. What's going to happen?
I'll tell you a little bit about my research. Over the past election, there has been a decline. Well, both the major parties have been losing mostly young voters and also women, female voters. Mm-hmm. So young voters are looking into Greens and Heels at the moment. So there is a sentiment on the ground that, you know, both the major parties have failed us. So we should look for an alternative. And this mm-hmm. is where really the Teal independents, not seeing that they will be able to make it. And I want to plug in that we are a preferential voting system. And we are a majoritarian system. So it is inherently difficult for these Teal independents to make it. But really, I feel like it allows, because voting is compulsory, it really allows for people to have an alternative and have their voices heard by voting for these Teals and Greens.
I want to bring in an alternative voice, and this voice is the voice of Barry, who cares about climate change, but not in the way that we've been talking about. This is the voice that supports the idea of actually, let me get Barry to tell you what he thinks. Here he is.
It isn't a climate change election in the sense that vote for the government's going to do the most initiatives to, you know, so-called reduce carbon. I think it's a climate change election in that I want to vote for the government that's going to do the least, because closing coal-fired power stations, for instance, is going to cost jobs. It's going to mean we'll have more blackouts. And the cost of living will go up.
An alternative voice in our conversation about climate change policy and the upcoming election in Australia. Let me just go briefly here to my laptop to remind you how we started this conversation. How much do Australian voters care about climate change? In a sentence, in a word, Kishore, how much do they care?
A little.
Intifa, how much do they care?
A lot.
And Kate?
Well, they rank it typically in the top four issues at the moment in the polls, so that tells you quite a bit.
All right. Thank you for your comments on YouTube. Really appreciate them. Kate, Intifa and Kishore, thank you for being part of the stream today. And we will keep following the Australian elections this weekend on Al Jazeera. That's a wrap for today. See you next time. Take care.